The podcast is also sponsored by my good friend Tiger at It's Tiger Music on Instagram at itztiger.music. You can find all his work on Spotify, SoundCloud, and iTunes. He does all the music and tracks for the Block Hash podcast. Go check him out. Also, don't forget to check out Block Hash Plus on Patreon. This is something that's new, where you can learn more about trading, technical analysis, and charting, all for the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. That's pretty damn cheap. Sign up at patreon.com/blockhash. And last but definitely not least, Blockhash is offering consulting for all your blockchain needs. Buying, exchanging, selling, safe storage, tokenization, NFT creation, point of sale, you name it. We can help you. Go to blockhashpodcast.com/consulting and let's talk. What's up, people? It is January 6, 2021, and we made it through 2020, finally. So, this week on the 100th episode of the podcast, very exciting, starting off the year on the right foot, Lihan Lee, co-founder and CEO of Zengle, or CrossAngle, however you want to pronounce it, joins me to discuss how they created a data disclosure service for the global crypto market, a one-stop shop for comprehensive info on various projects. We also discuss their crypto credibility rankings. We talk about Ripple XRP and what's going on there and so many other topics. I will let you find out the rest listening to the episode. So with that said, as always, be sure to subscribe and share this episode with somebody that you think would like to learn more about blockchain or Zengle. Enjoy. Well, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for coming on. How's your day going?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So before we get started and jump into everything that you do in the space and your company, tell me a little bit about your background or your backstory and how you decided to get into this space.
Okay. My name is Lihan Lee. I'm from South Korea. I'm the co-founder and co-CEO of Zengle. For the last 10 years, I've been co-founder and engineer of 3 startups. The first one was OpenSurvey, which is now the largest mobile survey platform in South Korea. Back in 2017, I came into the crypto space, and I was really amazed how blockchain technology can change the world. And more specifically, I was really convinced that blockchain will be the ownership and funding infrastructure for the future startups and platform services. And I was really fascinated to see how efficiently and transparent crypto could raise money from thousands of global institutional as well as retail investors. And after spending a year helping various crypto projects in terms of their development, I also saw the limitations and agony of how crypto projects were being run. Especially, there was a gap between the long-term vision and the speculative nature of the industry, so which made me to start my current company, Zengle.
Well, so is that like the main thing that got you into blockchain, or were there other aspects like the trading aspects to it or other parts of the technology?
Actually, there were several. So it is true that the things that I mentioned were the major reason I jumped in. But the technology itself, the transparent nature of it, the fact that all data is open for everybody who is willing to dig into that opens up whole new opportunities in terms of services and businesses and how decisions are being made in the ecosystem. The trading was also very interesting. People and how the price moves based on news and based on visions of various crypto startups. And yeah, still it's amazing.
Yeah, it's a very, very interesting, very amazing industry. And it's awesome how quickly it's grown over the last, decade or so. Yeah, I can see all the potential there and all the growth that's coming. And it's cool seeing new companies come into the space and do new and interesting things, like Zengel, taking a different angle on it. But can you tell me a little bit about what it is and what it's for?
Sure. Zengel is an information platform for crypto investors. And our mission is to help crypto projects to communicate and align with their investors and exchanges more transparently and efficiently. We provide an information channel called Disclosures, which is a verified and irreversible version of an official blog announcements. And we also provide credibility rating services for crypto projects to assess their fundamental progress and business strengths. And we started in 2018, so it's 2 years ago. And now we're working with over 400 projects and over 50 exchanges around the globe. And we kind of strongly believe in this cryptocurrency market in the long term. And it really has huge potential to be a major asset class, as well as a crucial infrastructure in the financial sector as a whole. But if you look at how people trade crypto in general, it is still very, very short-term and speculative. And it is very ironic, actually, because initially, people tend to invest in visions of how blockchain could change the world in the long run. But once the tokens are traded in the market, everybody is just focused on making money quick. And this part is especially for good projects, it's a real pain point because you just can't concentrate on fundamental progress once you're exposed to speculators demanding some announcements or news to pump up the price. So we thought it's a big loss for the industry, and it's also a big loss for long-term real investors. So what we suggest for crypto projects is to take some distance from their official chatting channel and really focus on fundamental development first. And along the way, they can use our disclosures to share some important information that every investor should know. And once they submit their information to our platform, depending on the type, our research team verifies it. And then those information is released in the form of disclosures to in our platform, Zengel, as well as to our global partner exchanges around the world.
Gotcha. What do you mean when you say like crypto disclosure? Are you talking about like companies, disclosing news on what they're doing or projects doing something similar?
Yeah, all kinds of information. So, so we got that motive from the traditional finance industry. So, in US, you guys have Edgar, where, listed companies like Google, Amazon disclose their important information that might affect the price of their shares. The same thing didn't exist back then in the crypto space because of the multinational nature of these sets. No single government was responsible to take care of disclosing information for Bitcoin, for example, because Bitcoin it's not an American asset class. So back to your question, which kind of information? So we provide about 30 types of different information, from disclosing roadmap releases, milestone achievements, and token burn, token minting information, change of their leadership, company acquisition, and various IRL activities that might affect that every investor should know.
So is the information coming from companies in the space or projects or both? Or what's your target market here?
The most information comes from the project themselves. Initially, to kick off the platform, our research team did the job for the projects. But over time, the proportion of the disclosures released by the project themselves has been increasing. Right now, about 70 to 80% of our disclosures released are coming from the team themselves.
And how many companies or projects do you have affiliated with your platform?
Yeah, about more than 400 projects around the globe are onboarded in our platform. And about 200 of them do actively disclose their information in our platform. The others are in a phase of learning how to use us in their IR activities.
Yeah, it's good to have a company that's doing due diligence and research in the crypto space, because there's so many projects out there, so many companies, so many startups in crypto, in blockchain, and there's just not enough material out there to help an investor make a good decision, or to help a developer make a good decision where they want to work, or, you know, just in general, there's just not a lot of research out there. So it's good to have a company like yours that can help provide some of that to the market.
Yeah, thanks for your understanding and compliment. It is a very, very young and it's a very initial stage in terms of development. As an industry, I think it's very, very young. And because it has a lot of potential, the people's expectations always is faster than the actual fundamentals. So initially, people it's very natural to focus on the price itself, making short-term profits. That's very natural. But over time, as the industry matures, people's interest will be more towards the fundamental things like how the ecosystem really gets evolved, and how the business values evolve, and how the value of the network and tokens are being assessed. So and I think it's a very important building block that the industry really needs to get the acknowledge to be acknowledged as a real asset class in the financial sector as a whole.
I also heard you mention something about having a credibility ranking as well. How does that work, and what is your criteria when you assess the credibility of these different projects and cryptos?
Yeah, so we started our credibility ratings a year ago after running our disclosures for a year. We found out that there were various existing rating services for crypto projects, but most of them were just too technical, or sometimes too focused on how the ICO event success. So our rating is, because we run our disclosure platform, our rating has more weight on the fundamental things of the projects and the company itself. And we took the view of evaluating venture startups into the crypto space. So We evaluate the team's strengths, whether the team has the right members to take the project's vision in a long-term perspective. We also, what's special in our ratings is we take into account the project's financial status as well. So if we check whether the project has the ability to kind of manage their funding that is being raised publicly, or do they just do they have mechanisms to hedge in the right way to cope with various situations, because crypto markets tend to be very volatile. Sometimes it's very hot, but sometimes the prices crash, and then all of a sudden a crypto project realizes that they raised a lot of money, but they do not have the necessary money to sustain their project. So we do evaluate their financial status. We also evaluate how transparent the projects communicate with their investors. And we also check for that the projects do their fundamental work that they released in their white papers initially.
So are these good for like long-term standing credibility or more short-term stuff?
So our ratings is more focused on the long-term aspects. So and they're updated based on the disclosure that the projects release. And if, for example, a project hits a very important milestone that increases the fundamental value of the tokens and the network, their scores are being rated higher based on that. But in other situations where, for example, they misconduct some important communications, for example, if a project tries to mint additional volumes of tokens that actually needs to be rightly communicated with their investors, but does that in a way of not being transparent, then our ratings are being fixed in a bad way. So, and that might affect the project's reputation.
I also saw that you guys did a $3 million funding round or something like that.
It's actually,
or 3.3. I just saw the article.
Yeah. So as a whole, five million in three rounds. And okay. So although we provide we trying to do a service in the crypto space, we got funding from the traditional venture capital and from the traditional financial companies like Hanwha. There are the one of the largest conglomerates in South Korea. And I think it comes from the nature that there is a lot of interest in blockchain in the startup space as well as the traditional financial space, but they it was really hard for them to understand the industry because it's very different in nature. It superficially it seems like it's very similar, but if you dig into it, a lot of things are very different, and they got interested into our platform, our vision, because we kind of provide them a view to understand the crypto space in their way that they used to be. So disclosures are something that traditional industry are used to assess or to get information from listed companies, but it wasn't there for crypto projects, and I think that's the reason why they did invest into us.
It's always a good thing though to get that kind of funding from, you know, a big player like that, because you know that people are more confident about, you know, pouring some money into this space and watching it grow versus kind of letting you guys have to figure it all out and find the money elsewhere.
Yes. I think it's good for the industry as a whole as well, because it's kind of acknowledgement that the industry has some potential, also in the view of the traditional industry.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys are a South Korean company, correct? Or did you say Singapore earlier off the podcast?
Yeah, our HQ is in Singapore, but most of our team is here in Seoul, in South Korea. And over the years, over the next years, we're going to expand our offices in Southeast Asia and into other countries as well.
Do you guys have any regulatory hurdles to go through having a crypto or blockchain type of company in South Korea, or is it pretty free and open right now for you guys to do stuff like this?
Certainly there are limitations here. So for example, if you try to open up a bank account, it's still painful and much more painful than not being a crypto startup. A lot of things are much difficult, but it's not impossible. That's because we're currently operating our company here, and over time we hope that things gets more better.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. Asia has definitely been quite a testing ground for crypto over the last, you know, decade or so. And it's kind of funny because I always get a lot of Americans that listen to the podcast, because obviously it's primarily based in America. And they always ask me about Asia when it comes to crypto. And I'm like, I don't really know, just because it's so far away. And I don't usually have enough guests on that come on and talk about it. But you guys are always in the news, whether it's South Korea or Japan or China. It feels like you guys are constantly like a couple steps ahead of us in terms of where we're at with crypto in the US.
Crypto is quite popular here in Asia, especially in South Korea. Maybe because we are much more open to new kind of trend and new stuffs, or maybe some because the internet environment is very good here. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that people here in South Korea and Indonesia are very interested into crypto and very active in investing it. And the difference we see between the Western and here in Asia in terms of crypto investment is in the West, we see that the major interest in is into the major coins like Bitcoin or Ethereum. And here in Asia, the proportion of people being interested into altcoins is much, much higher. So especially back in 2017, crypto has been a real alternative of startups against the traditional VC funding. So I think that's sort of a different thing we see.
When you say alternative to VC funding, are you talking about ICOs?
Yeah, exactly. ICOs, and that evolved into the IEOs, where tokens try to raise funding directly from exchanges. And still up to today, ICO funding is still active here in Asia.
Is that highly regulated in South Korea, or is that also still pretty wide open? Because I know here in America, ICOs are getting heavily regulated.
Yes, yes. In South Korea, ICO itself, it's not quite regulated, or it's not very open. So projects tend to have a headquarter in different countries, but operate here in South Korea. But regulation, important steps are being made in terms of regulations, and the government is slowly trying to understand the value of the crypto space and how these things can have positive impact in the future. So, but in terms of regulation, the first steps were in the field of AML and the money to prevent money laundering, and so that the crypto doesn't flow to terrorists and bad behaviors. So, mm-hmm. but and those things are already settled right now. The rules are being has been made, laws has been legislated, and will take into effect next year. The next steps will be towards to protect investors from fraud and things like what we do as a disclosure platform. We try to fill in the gap where regulations didn't reach yet, but kind of protect investors from fake news or untrustworthy information.
Right. Are you guys expecting any regulations going into 2021? Are you expecting it to still kind of be a, you know, slow process where they're learning?
We do expect progress over next year and the years ahead. There will be things that will be slower than our expectations, but there will be also regulations that that is maybe is faster than our expectations. So, for example, the aim things towards AML, they're settled already and will take into effect next year. Regulations to protect the investors is still a little bit slower than our expectations, but will definitely come over the years as the industry matures, and I think other things will follow.
I think a lot of people have this misconception that all regulations are bad. It's actually, you know, some regulations, depending on, you know, how much research and time and thoughts put into it, can be pretty positive, especially for a new market like this, because it'll help show larger accredited investors and firms that, you know, the space has some maturity, some regulation behind it, and creates a sense of comfortability that makes them want to invest more into the space and get more involved. So, you know, in some ways, it's a good thing to see these regulations crop up.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Of course, we do not want to have regulations that is totally based on traditional standards, and mm-hmm. and they, I think, a regulator should study a lot how things are working in the Wild Wild West without the regulations. Try to really understand the nature, what lies behind them. But as a whole, I think regulation will help to make the industry much more legitimate, to let in institutional money flow into the industry, and let a lot of common people participate in the crypto movement. So, as you said, regulation sometimes is seen kind of an obstacle to slow down the progress of crypto. But We believe if it is conducted in a right manner, regulation definitely has positive effects for the industry.
Absolutely. And I guess there's the flip side of that too, on the other side of the coin, where you want to make sure that whatever the regulations are, whatever's ruled on, it makes sense, because crypto is a completely new asset class from traditional finance, where you have a hybrid asset that one day can be labeled as property, one day can act as a currency, the next day it could act as a security. So if they mislabel something, it can have disastrous effects on the entire market. So it is important for them to take their time and make sure they regulate it properly. But if they do that, and then it does create a lot of positive growth for the space.
Exactly, exactly. So as you mentioned, so the crypto has very different phases. One day it is a commodity, the next day it's a security, and then it's also a currency. So it's not really reasonable, and it's not wise to regulate this asset just by saying you guys are securities, but you didn't fulfill the right actions to being a real security. So and I think that's agony that Ripple recently is going through. And I think it's much more wise that the regulators kind of really understand the different aspects of the crypto as it is, and focus on the issues itself rather than too much focusing on the category and the traditional standards that's being there.
Yeah. Speaking of Ripple, what's your thoughts on the SEC lawsuit with Ripple Labs? Because I can tell you from my perspective, it definitely doesn't look like or sound like a security, but the way they've handled it does create some issues where it worries me that the SEC could, or that the courts could rule that Ripple is some form of security, even though it technically isn't, because it's not representing ownership of Ripple Labs necessarily. And there's a lot of other reasons why as well. But I'm kind of curious from your point of view, how you kind of see that, and if it's going to be something that's very negative or very positive in the end.
Yeah. So the way I see it is from the investor side, I think there are some mixed feelings towards Ripple being a security or not. So in the one hand, I think a lot of investors would like the Ripple Foundation to take the real responsibility to increase the value of Ripple and so that the developments and the benefits that the foundation did and will do over time will kind of really benefit the Ripple currency. But on the other hand, you have this regulatory risk that by too much getting involved to increase the real value of the Ripple, that the asset class might be seen as a security. But so from the regulatory perspective, I do not think it is wise to, as I said earlier, to too much focus on the asset class nature of it. It's I think much more wise to really concentrate on the real issues that might affect the investors. So if, for example, Ripple raised a lot of money and does nothing for the coin itself, I think that is a real problem, because that might hurt investors. So I hope that this will act as some incident that increases the understanding of the assets class from the regulatory side.
Yeah, when you guys assess credibility of these different projects, do things like lawsuits and stuff like this affect their credibility rating on Zangle, or even more specifically, like with Ripple in this instance? Or do you guys mostly focus on the technical aspects?
No, it definitely has affects the ratings. So, for example, the Ripple lost some points because of the legal risks, and a lot of crypto exchanges did actually delist Ripple because of the risk. So we do our ratings based on a view that information might affect the price and investors' interest. So we are less focused on the technical side and much more focused on the business and the asset fundamental side.
So here's a different question. If I had a crypto company or startup or project and I wanted to put out my disclosures on Zangle, or I wanted to get a credibility rating through you guys, how would I do that, or what's the process?
So you can just send us an email claiming that you're actually managing the project, and from that point on, to fill in the information, to submit disclosures, that's all free once you get access to the project's project management role. And then for the ratings, because that's our business model actually. So if you fill in all the disclosures, and if you want us to rate the fundamentals of your project, there is some fee involved, and after that we kind of assess your project's strengths based on our rating process.
Before we wrap up, how can people learn more about Zangle? Is it the best place to go to the website? Do you have social media? Are you on the App Store?
Yeah, so currently our website is our main communication channel. But our disclosures are linked to various exchanges around the globe. So, for example, BISOM, the largest crypto exchange in South Korea, they provide our disclosures in their exchange UI. Bitfinex, for example, they also do provide our disclosures in their UX. Yesterday, Unocoin, which is the largest or the second largest exchange in India, they also started to provide our disclosures. And so because we try hard to distribute our disclosures in different channels, you might get access to it in various ways.
Are you guys on social media at all, or do you have accounts?
Yeah, we also have Telegram official channels, where we provide different, not only disclosures, but also research materials that might help investors to make their decisions. We also have Twitter official channel. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
Okay, cool. I'll be sure to throw some links in the description for the episode to help some people navigate and find some of that stuff. But Lihan, thanks for taking the time to come on the podcast. Really appreciate it. Really cool learning about a crypto company that's focused more on the research side of things and curating good, healthy news for individuals, investors, businesses, to really understand the space on a deeper level. So it's awesome you guys are doing that, and it's awesome getting to talk to you.
Thanks from our side as well to have this opportunity to talk about ourselves and to get introduced to your listeners.
Absolutely. Welcome to come back on in the future as well. In the meantime, stay healthy, stay safe. See you next time.